scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship video by St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on November 28, 2021. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Holy Gospel for the first Sunday of Advent is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21. In this Gospel reading, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the end of the age, and he says to them, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. My sermon theme today is the gifts and griefs of exile. As we prepare to reflect on God's word, let's pray. Eternal God, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. In these times of dislocation, lead us to find our home and security in you. Lord, open my lips so that I may speak your word to your people, and send us your Holy Spirit to open our hearts to your word and to what you are doing in these times. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I have been reflecting a lot lately on what God has been doing with us in these past 2 years. How are we to understand and give meaning to our experience, especially as we here in Melbourne emerge from one of the world's longest lockdowns? As I've reflected, I've come to think that the theological theme of home and exile is a really helpful way for us to understand these times and God's work amongst us. Psalm 137 captures the grief of exile. This is a psalm that emerges out of the experience of God's people in exile in Babylon for 70 years. Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept, when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?" During lockdown, I had an experience that was quite similar to Psalm 137 in some ways. As the months went on, I found myself struggling to pray. struggling to read the Bible, struggling to connect with God. I wrote in my journal, "Lord, I want to hunger for your word, but I don't. I want to pray for our church plants and our mission. I want to share your broken heart for the lost, but I can't." Maybe some of you have experienced something like that during our time of lockdown. I wondered, what's wrong with me? Am I being rebellious? Am I just lazy? Is my heart hard? How can I nurture my faith when the rhythms aren't there? How can I be faithful when everything is so different? How do we pray and worship when our Christian practices aren't even possible? It was while I was pondering those kind of questions that I remembered Psalm 137. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And suddenly I understood. My experience wasn't rebellion or sin or laziness or hard-heartedness. It was exile. Exile is a profound experience of dislocation, of being ripped away from what is comfortable and normal and natural. Our rhythms have been shattered. We've been at home in our houses, yes, that is true, but we've been ripped away from what is normal and comfortable and sustaining, particularly in our Christian life. We've been experiencing exile. And exile brings grief. But through the grief, God also has gifts for us. And today I want to explore one of the gifts and one of the griefs of exile. So for the Jews who were exiled to Babylon, for them the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem was a massive source of grief. The temple had literally been the center and the symbol of their faith. It was the dwelling place of God on earth. It was the place where people met with God in person, where they worshipped and sang and found forgiveness. How could they sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How could they still worship when the temple did not exist? The old rhythms of corporate worship could no longer sustain them. Israel had left the temple. Well, during our long COVID lockdowns, we've grieved that we couldn't meet together for public worship. How can we sustain our faith when we can't gather in person? When we can't celebrate Holy Communion, which is the embodiment of God's grace in Jesus? When the cells of the body are stuck at home in their lounge rooms, it's the longest time in my life that I've gone without Holy Communion, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until I was able to have it again. Israel had left the temple, and during our COVID lockdowns, the church has left the building. The church has left the building. The prophet Jeremiah told the exiles in Babylon to settle down, become at home in their new city, and settle in for the long haul. God would have them there for 70 years. God's plans were long-term. They weren't instantaneous. Well, thank God, but here in Melbourne, we've had it slightly easier. It hasn't been 70 years. It's been 40 weeks of lockdown. But it seems like a really long time, doesn't it? Especially when every single day is exactly the same as every other day. We've had days that seem to go on forever. And we've had months that just disappeared. Has that been anyone else's experience? Yes. And for many of us, for many people in Melbourne, lockdown has been a massive crisis. Healthcare workers, school teachers with young children, the 40% of Australian workers who are newly vulnerable in an economic sense, those who've lost work through lockdowns. But also, for many of us, lockdown hasn't been so much a crisis as a long, slow, grinding trauma with nothing to really pin the trauma on. I mean, we've got homes, we've got food, we've got our families. Shouldn't we be happy and content with that? But we've all missed the normal rituals and the celebrations of life, the human interactions and the spontaneity that to help us to flourish. We haven't been able to visit with others. We've learned that we need more than food to flourish. We need interaction, we need joy, we need relationship, celebration, commiseration. These are the things that make us truly human, and they're the things that we've been missing during lockdown. But even in exile, God is still the Lord of history. God is still the one who is working all things together for the good of those who love him. Right in the middle of Jeremiah's prophecy of 70 years of exile in Babylon, we find one of the greatest promises in the whole Bible. You probably know these words. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." I can see Marlene speaking these words. "Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Hear this well. It's in the midst of exile that God promises to bless his people in this way. In the midst of exile, God promises them hope and a future. God's plans include what he will do through exile. The gifts of exile can't come without the griefs of exile. In Babylon, the Israelites developed new ways to worship God and to nurture their faith. With the temple destroyed, the Jewish people developed synagogue worship. They discovered that a small group of people gathered around the Word of God was a legitimate and nurturing expression of their faith. And synagogue worship became a practice which sustained God's people for hundreds of years across multiple continents. And during our long lockdowns, God has helped us rediscover the church in the home. Our gathered worship has been in our lounge rooms and our Ugg boots and our dressing gowns. Like the exiles, we've learned that a small group or family gathered around God's word is a legitimate, real, and nurturing expression of church. We've been reminded again of Jesus' words, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." God has helped us rediscover that we don't go to church, we are the church. Our adult children, who might never come to a church building, have listened to the Word of God. And sorry, Pastor Neville and Pastor Phil, but sometimes we've paused the YouTube recording of the sermon to have a Holy Spirit-led discussion of the Word of God in the midst of that sermon. I hope that's not a problem. People who would never come to a church building have taken the plunge of joining worship online and hearing the gospel. The church, which is the people of God, has left the building. Let's not underestimate this gift. You see, exile helps us change. It challenges the way that we've always done things. And one of the leading pastors of the district, when churches first struggled during that first lockdown to take their worship online, he said, "The churches of the district have moved a decade in a week." Exile helps us change. There's also the joy of coming home. Perhaps you remember this day Sunday, October the 17th, 2021. That was the day that Premier Dan Andrews announced that Melbourne's lockdown would be ending. Does anyone remember watching that news conference? My family and I were watching it. And as we watched, Premier Dan Andrews also announced that we could go even further and have up to 10 people in our homes. My family members literally laughed. It was so much more than we were expecting. Our mouths were full of laughter. We finally had hope that our sense of dislocation and our long, slow grief might be ending. Very much like Psalm 126. This psalm tells of the joy and wonder of those who had been exiled to Babylon when they were able to return home. It goes like this. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. You think I'm going to end there, don't you? But I'm not. There's a bit more that God has for us. You see, it's great to come home. It's great to be released from exile. But coming home also brings its own spiritual dangers. You see, when the exiles returned to Israel, the land they came back to was not the same as the land they left. The temple was still in ruins. Jerusalem's walls needed to be rebuilt. They couldn't just pick things up where they had been left before the siege of Jerusalem and the exile. Similarly, in a post-COVID world, the land that we come back to as we open up in the wake of a pandemic is not the same world that we left. So here's two dangers of coming home, two spiritual dangers. The first one I call rushing home so fast that we miss what God is doing. This danger is about thinking that we can just go back to doing things the way they were before, or thinking this is all over. It's about failing to reflect and learn from God what he is doing and what he's trying to teach us through our time of exile. There's a deep work of grief and lament and rebuilding that needs to happen. To rush back to normal, to fail to reflect or pray, is to move ahead of God. This, for us, is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to ask questions such as this. What is it that God is calling us to leave behind in exile? What is it that God is calling us to change as we come home? What is God doing in this time? What are the new opportunities that God is giving us? And the second danger of coming home, I would call loving Zion more than the God of Zion. It's about letting the desires of our hearts be in the wrong order. The yearning for home and comfort and familiarity, it's a powerful urge. It's a God-given urge. But it can cause us to lose sight of the God in whom we find our home. Don't get me wrong. Zion is beautiful. This building is beautiful. It is a good thing, a great thing, to be able to meet again in person for worship. But to see this as the ultimate thing is actually to commit idolatry. We know now, people of Melbourne, we know through long and difficult experience that church is much more than an hour and a half in a beautiful building on a Sunday. We are the church. We are the body of Christ 24/7, whether we are gathered or scattered. We carry the presence of Jesus in our lounge rooms and our families, in our workplaces and our Zoom meetings, on public transport and in our parks. Let's not get sucked into thinking that this building is the only place where we can experience the presence of God. Jesus promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to strengthen and intensify in our minds the truth that we are the church. We don't go to church. We are strengthened and sanctified by gathering together, whether in person or online, through the Word of God and through God's sacraments. And then we are sent out bearing the presence of God in a world that desperately needs us. So how do we do it? How do we do it, Pastor Nathan? How do we avoid the dangers of coming home? What will keep us from loving home more than we love God who brings us home? Just one thing. You see, the biblical narrative of home and exile, like all of the narratives that run through the whole Bible, is fully resolved only in Jesus. Yes, you knew I had to say that word sometime during this sermon, right? It is actually all about Jesus. Home and exile is wrapped up in him. Remember that Jesus left his home in glory at the right hand of the Father and made his dwelling among us as a baby, born in Bethlehem. Jesus left his home with God so that we could be welcomed home to God. Remember that Jesus, during his earthly ministry, said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He had no place of rest in order that we would always have a place of rest with God. At the end of his life, Jesus was exiled. He was thrown out of the city of Jerusalem. And not just exiled from the city, but exiled from the very presence of God the Father as he bore our sins on the cross. He was separated from God so that you and I would know that nothing can separate us from the presence of God. Not death or life or angels or demons, not lockdowns or the grief of loss and exile, not even the powers of hell itself. The church may have left the building, but God has never left the church. And Jesus came to make his home on earth so that one day, as the very end of the Bible tells us, one day the dwelling of God will be with people, and God will dwell among us and be our God, and we will be his people, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, as Revelation chapter 21 reminds us. People of God, it is only through trusting in Jesus, his substitution, his exile, that keeps us from getting our priorities in the wrong order, the loves of our hearts in the wrong shape. It's only in Jesus that we can fully see the plans and purposes that God has for us, plans to give us hope and a future. It's only in Jesus that any of us can find our true heart's longing, which is to be welcomed home with God himself. Only in Jesus can we love the God who brings us home more than the idea of home itself. Only in Jesus can we truly come home to God who loves us. May we know this truth and experience it deep in our hearts. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who brings us home. Amen.